the asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Briggs.
Woo! Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show here on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com.
We are Flieger and Briggs. Welcome back into the Asylum, and there's so much going on. Last week, we were waiting on Patrick Johnson to call in.
Right.
Supposed to be calling in this week. I'm not sure if he's going to make it or not, but no matter. There's so much to happen that have happened injury-wise.
Oh, what a mess last week.
It's amazing.
I mean, it was.
So we're going to have all kinds of things to talk about. And, you know, maybe a special guest. So we'll just wait and see. We're lucky we got on the air with the technical difficulties. But
yeah, hopefully by the time you hear this, I will have edited out the 10 minutes of scrambling and pushing buttons and cursing as right as we go on the air, we just went dead. So I think it is because we are here in the new Asylum Football attic of a barn studios, and it's butt haunted. We're hearing voices. We're seeing stuff in the security camera. We're hearing doors slam, and then all of a sudden – right as we go on the air, all the equipment dies. My computer keeps dying. But Rick insists it's all perfectly logical. There's a logical explanation for all of it.
You've got a piece of junk that's been going blank ever since we were in your studio, my home studio. It's been going blank. But now all of a sudden the piece of junk's falling apart here. Oh, it's ghosts.
Well, factor in everything else that's going on. The
car door's over at the ice cream place.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, that's perfectly logical.
You heard voices.
It's 80 degrees. People are getting ice cream. It's not a big deal.
It's
okay,
not 80 degrees.
And voices were people walking down the street. It's not a big deal.
There's ghosts, and I contend that all the way to the end. But no time for chicanery, Rick, last week.
We have all the time in the world, and you know why? We have the mics.
That's true, and that's a very important thing to keep in mind. We have the microphone, so you will listen to every damn word we have to say.
Or you won't, but that's okay.
Week 9 on the way, week 8 in the books, and all I can say about week 8, Rick, is this. What a disaster.
A lot of injuries. I'll tell you what, there are some fantasy teams that – they may have just ceased to exist.
Yeah,
jump
out penthouse to the outhouse real quick.
Exactly. I mean, if you happen to be a team that had Le'Veon Bell and Keenan Allen on your team, you probably felt pretty good going into last week, and ain't working out for you now.
Yeah, so let's hop right into it here. As you all know, Le'Veon Bell out for the year with an MCL tear. Looked for all the world like an ACL. Then the Pro Football Talk gave us some hope on Sunday night, said it looked like it was just an MCL. Steelers hoped he might be able to come back. It'd be similar to Roethlisberger's injury. It is not. I don't believe there's been a timetable for a surgery yet, but the surgery is coming. He is on season-ending IR. So a couple things to discuss with this one, Rick. Obviously, we saw what D'Angelo Williams did in those first two games when Le'Veon Bell was suspended. Do we expect that to go on, number one? And when you look at the Steelers' offense, let's really look at it. I mean, we talk about – when you talk about Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant, now you take Le'Veon Bell out of that mix, Marquise Pouncey, a Pro Bowl center, out of that mix. You take your left tackle and Kelvin Beachman out of that mix. This has got to start negatively affecting everyone. You know, I'm willing to throw last week away – as a Roethlisberger knocking the dust off. I think he clearly wasn't healthy. They were getting a pass rush on them. So, I mean, we can go into how it's going to affect everyone else. But is D'Angelo Williams on this team going to be D'Angelo Williams than he was on that team in weeks 1 and 2, which I contend was a much better team?
Well, I tell you what, you go right back to it. They had Marquise Pouncey out when they played those games.
That's true.
Beachum obviously was not. But the big thing is you have Ben back now and hopefully shook some of the rust off in that debacle against Cincinnati and another week of full practice and that knee gets a little healthier. I think he'll be much more back to normal.
Right.
Now you have Martavis Bryant in the mix. You didn't have him in the first two games.
True.
I mean, you just look at the difference in that offense. Look, I know Ben was rusty, looked bad, but things really started to shake out basically back to normal. Antonio Brown
right.
was getting targeted. Heath Miller.
10 grabs.
10 grabs. I mean, that's his security blanket. You may not see that every week, obviously, as Ben starts getting back into the rhythm and going deep. But I think the run game's still going to be there. And I think D'Angelo Williams still has plenty in the tank to carry them through the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think bottom, quite frankly, as I think about this, D'Angelo Williams is a top 10 fantasy running back the rest of the way out. I do worry about this offensive line. I worry about the direction of this offense. You take inarguably one of the three or four best centers off the team, which happened before the season started, right. to your point. You take your starting left tackle. Well, he's not a pro bowler, but he's a solid guy. He's your left tackle. You take a Le'Veon Bell out of the – you take all of that out of the mix. That gives you some concern for that offense in general. That stuff starts to catch up with you. That said, as you look forward a little bit, Rick, just looking at D'Angelo Williams' fantasy opportunities, this is a team that's going to play the Cleveland Browns twice heading down the stretch.
Right.
This is a team that plays the Baltimore Ravens again. They play some bad run defenses, and there are some opportunities out there for this team to make a little hay. You look even this week, the Oakland Raiders, where inexplicably, and we'll get into this in the game balls and games and socks, where the Jets, with all the problems with Fitzpatrick going out and Geno Smith, got away from Chris Ivory completely, and we'll get into that. But you can run on this Raiders defense. There's defenses you can run on. Now, there's some tougher matchups. You take on the Denvers of the world at a certain point, and that one's going to sting a little bit. But I see no reason why, if healthy, from what we saw in 2 weeks, with the threats that are Heath Miller and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant deep, that opens up running lanes for a guy like D'Angelo Williams. You're not going to see it PPR-wise. You're not going to see it as much in the passing game, clearly, as you would see it out of Le'Veon Bell. But I don't think this running game misses a beat. And quite frankly, I think from here on out, you're looking at D'Angelo Williams as a top 10 guy, a clear number one fantasy back.
If they choose to go in that direction, I think you're right.
That could be a big if. You're right.
I mean, there's no problem predicting that for Le'Veon Bell, and they use him so much in the pass game. Will they do that with D'Angelo? I'm not certain. But I think running-wise, and if they start to throw him the ball like they do Le'Veon Bell, I mean, obviously he's not going to be the biggest threat in the open as Le'Veon Bell
right.
was. However, I still think he's plenty talented enough to get the yards after the
right.
catch and so forth. And if they choose to start working him more into the pass game, then, yeah, I'll agree with you.
Well, and I think the important thing to remember, too, is we saw it with Bell, and we wondered after those first two games Williams had. Williams is going to be on the field every play, every down. So I guess you have to ask yourself if he can hold up, and I'm not going to sit here and try to predict injury. What are they going to do? Jordan Todman? Who was it? They signed some dummy, some old cast off. I can't remember who it is. But they brought somebody else in here. It'll come to me here shortly. But D'Angelo Williams is going to be on the field constantly, which is such a gem in the fantasy football world when you're talking running backs. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, D'Angelo Williams, all you guys that have held on to him, congratulations.
My hand's up in the air.
I mean, that's...
Like, I just don't care.
Yeah, really. Well, you don't care. And you shouldn't.
All right, no Patrick. Yeah, as you mentioned at the top, Rick Keenan Allen out for the year with a lacerated kidney. Boy, you don't read that one every day. All these knee injuries, everything else. Keenan Allen, he shut me up. He made a fool out of me. I spent the whole offseason and the beginning of this season saying he's going to completely disappear at times, and other times he's going to have 14 catches. He just went ahead and caught 12 to 15 balls each and every week. And what with the Chargers team, like, my God, if they had any defense, I don't know who beats them the way they can play offensively when they get it rolling. But a huge, huge issue. Keenan out, a lacerated kidney? Come on, when does this start happening?
Well, you hit hard like he did, and who knows what happened. Did a rib break and do that? You know what I'm saying?
You almost have to wonder.
Because it really wasn't a hit from behind. I mean, he was up in the air, caught that pass, and landed hard on his back. But it happened. Fortunately for Phil Rivers, he's got Antonio Gates back.
Right.
They made the acquisition of Stevie Johnson.
I think he takes a big bump here.
He's going to make a big bump. And, of course, you got Malcolm Floyd, who started to emerge a little bit too. So, I mean, I think as far as Rivers owners go, I think you're fine.
Right.
I tell you what, I think Antonio Gates' stock starts going up.
Probably.
Who has the chemistry with him?
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
I think Stevie Johnson might work his way up into a fairly safe flex play in deeper leagues. I don't know if that's damning him with faint praise. The question is Malcolm Floyd. There has not been a receiver more damnably frustrating in fantasy football in the last 5 years. This guy puts up these monster games like he did this past week, and then he can just disappear for months at a time. He's had the opportunity, quite frankly, Rick, as the number one guy. I don't know if Keenan Allen going out makes me feel any better about Floyd. Floyd's a guy you keep down at the bottom of your roster, play him in a desperate spot, and hope you hit on the right week, which happens, quite frankly. I mean, he got me a win in the Scott Fish Bowl this past week. Yeah, he was the difference maker as I had some guys out on bye. I think, like I said, this might make Stevie Johnson relevant. I agree with you. Rivers will be fine. Gates is going to do what he does if he doesn't do more. But Malcolm Floyd's a guy I saw a lot of heat for on Twitter, people wanting to bump him up automatically. I don't see it. I don't trust it. The guy's got all the talent in the world. He's big, he's fast, but he's just not always there.
And we had the same knock on Keenan Allen, and, you know, I don't think he's in the same caliber with Keenan Allen. But, you know, Phil Rivers in San Diego, they remind me a lot of New Orleans just a few years ago when they won the Super Bowl. Marquise Colston. One week he'll have the 8 catches for a 130 and 2 touchdowns. Next week he has 2.
Yeah, he might as well not
and
even show up.
And then it would be
up.
You know, somebody else. But that being said, I'm thinking that, you know what, you brought up a thing with the Scott Fish Bowl 360.
All right.
For all listeners who don't know, Scott Fish, our guy that calls
Sunday
in, is on the Sunday
co-host.
Morning Inside Slam. Started a league with all the with many, many, many experts and listeners alike, fans alike. 360 participants, and it gets whittled down to 1.
Right.
Anyway, it's a 2-quarterback league, which brought up the little dilemma that I had. I drafted Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is nice because I figured, okay, I'm going to start them. So then I got to thinking, well, I'll get a third guy for bye weeks or injury. So I got Derek Carr. Uh-oh. Now I'm sitting here thinking, wow.
What do you do now?
Who am I benching? We had seven touchdown performance by Brees last week. I had Carr on the bench thinking, okay, Ben's going to come back.
Yeah.
He was horrible.
Man, Carr threw
Carr
for 330
just
and 4 touches.
Up the Jets defense.
Jets defense. That's important to point out, the Jets defense.
Exactly. So now I'm sitting here thinking, okay, do I bench Carr for Ben or vice versa?
I think you're playing matchups every week, quite frankly.
They play each other.
Well, yeah, that game doesn't help you. And Brees is playing.
I don't care about Brees. I think they're on track.
Yeah, I think he's back. He's healthy. Look, he's not going to. And we'll get into this in the balls and socks, too. I could have just used that game for the game ball section, gave both defenses the socks. We could have done a 10-minute show, and we could all go home and call it a night.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I throw that game out, quite
balls
frankly.
Balls and socks. We'll make that real simple. Saints and Giants offenses get balls.
Yeah.
The defenses get socks. Game over.
Yeah, but and I think for the most part, because you see so much discussion on Twitter, we're just all over the place tonight, and that's quite all right. That's what we do. I think it means good things for Drew Brees. I think it means he's healthy. He's looking good. He's been on the upward trend the last several weeks after looking real bad at the beginning of the year. Eli's Eli. He could come out next week, look constipated, look confused, look lost, or he could do that again.
I'll tell you what, though.
But Marquise Colston, you brought his name up. Brandon Cooks. I don't feel any better about those guys than I did 2 weeks ago. We know who Odell Beckham is. The only takeaway I have from this is Benjamin Watson did it again.
Right.
Everything else I just throw out. You know, Harris, 2 touchdowns. Come on. No. Don't ask me any Dwayne Harris questions. The answer is no.
Right.
No, 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 no.
Right.
That game's just one of those weird anomalies, got away from everybody. So, but maybe we'll talk about Benjamin Watson when we get to the balls and socks.
You know, there's been a lot of talk this year about Andy Dalton, you know, the performance he's had, and rightly so. 1,992 yards, 15 touchdowns, 4 picks. You know, he's got another couple of rushing touchdowns. You know, and I mean, that he's well, he should be talked about, okay? But here's some stats here. 2,126 yards, 17 touchdowns, 4 picks. Number 4 in fantasy scoring. That's not bad.
Who are we talking about, Eli?
Eli.
Yeah.
Nobody talk about Eli.
No.
I mean, you know, he hasn't. Okay,
he's not sexy. He's not fun to talk about.
Right.
He's Peyton's little brother. That's who he is.
Yeah, and let's look at big brother Peyton, who just came off a very impressive 300-and-some-yard performance.
What do you make of that?
Well, he still had no touchdowns.
Well, he could have.
Where is Peyton? There's Peyton Manning on the second page of fantasy scoring. 1,864 yards, 7 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, I
that's
think,
my brilliant analysis. That's not good.
Well, I think you'll probably see a little more of what we saw in the last game for a while.
I think that bye came at the right time.
It did.
And the weather was real good,
and it
too.
Hasn't gotten cold yet. That was
right,
my next
point. The
weather
point. Was real
exactly.
good.
So, yeah, I mean –
I'm not ready to shove all in. In fact, I might continue to avoid him, although I think he has a big week this week going home to Indy. I think if you want one last dance with Peyton Manning, it might be this week.
It could be, but, you know, you have to start. You're talking about matchups and so forth. Here, say you have a team. Okay, we're going to throw out Brady and Rivers and Palmer and all these guys.
Yeah,
okay. Peyton Manning or Blake Bortles?
This week?
Coming off a bye.
This week?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Okay. Derek Carr.
Oh, I got to go Carr there against that Steelers defense. We're going to talk about that game before we get out of here, too. Something people need to know.
Cam Newton.
Oh, you got to ride Cam, I think. Kid's rolling. Going up against that Packers defense, that Peyton just
rolling.
Carved up.
He's 1,523 yards, 11 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Yeah, but look at his
I know
his
he's got 4 rushing
too.
Touchdowns. I agree, but he's...
He's going to run for 60 yards and a touchdown on top
scoring,
of it.
Even in fantasy scoring, 2, 4, 6, 8,
who
10.
Do we appreciate?
He's 11th.
All right, well,
he's
that's
still
a number
QB
one.
One.
Where's Peyton Manning?
Well, he's QB4, right. I think, right now.
QB4?
I'm kidding. Yeah, it's called... Sarcasm.
Oh, I thought you meant the 4th overall QB. Smack your microphone out of your hand.
Lord. No, Eli's 4th in scoring.
That's right. It was Eli we were talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why are you so exasperated that I said Cam Newton?
I'm not.
I said Cam Newton.
You said he's rolling. He's just rolling. He's really not rolling.
His team's 7-0.
The team
and he is.
He is
the only offensive weapon they have outside of Greg Olsen.
Denver's undefeated.
Well, yeah.
Well.
But Peyton stinks. You can't God. Shake your head. This is an audio medium.
You make no sense.
What do you mean I make no sense?
You make no sense. Cam's rolling. They're 7-0. Well, Denver's undefeated. He stinks, though.
He does.
Makes
he got
no
that
sense.
Defense. Give Cam Newton, Demaryius Thomas, and Emmanuel Sanders.
Why?
Tell me how it turns out.
He has
out.
Ted Ginn
and Devin Funchess and Jericho Cotton. All right, fair enough. I guess you win this one. All right, let's roll through these headlines, and I want to get to the balls and sucks. Matt Forte out at least this week with a knee injury. Coach Fox saying it's just a sprain. It's not expected to require surgery or be season-ending. However, they are very mum on the subject, which seems odd to me. Why we haven't heard anything yet? A lot of people out there saying he was gone. He was done for the year. It was an MCL. Team saying might be just a sprain, but all we can agree on is it's a knee, and he's not going to play this week.
How many people we're from around here? How many people in the Pittsburgh area said Ben was done when they saw that?
Oh,
hit?
I did.
Well, that's the thing. That's what they see, you know.
And well, either way, I don't think this is going to be a short term.
Oh,
deal.
I don't either.
Fox is sort of playing this off like it's no bubbles, no troubles.
Well, of course he's going to play it coy. The John Fox, he's been around
well,
the league
true,
a couple
yeah.
of years.
He doesn't let one guy get to him, so. Langford, how do you feel on that? People spent some big-time free agent dollars on that cat this week.
Interesting. You know, there's a lot
of Matt Forte.
A lot of big dollars were spent on West and now Davis when Jamal Charles went out.
Right.
Is it going to be the Langford show? Might be. Maybe dollars well spent. But may not be, you know, this isn't Matt Forte 2. He's the backup running back.
Right.
Hey, he could step in. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have done this, but, you know, the first week just to automatically think, well, you know, Langford's coming in, he's going to be big-time fantasy points. He might be, might not.
Right. I mean, D'Angelo greater than Langford.
Yeah.
This week and going forward.
I think.
My concern there is, and you're big on the stats, Rick. You got all your stats up. Where's Matt Forte ranking rushing at this point? Because my feeling is he's not putting up the big numbers in the run game. I think bigger than in the past. Where Langford can't replace them is even if he is in the same role as Matt Forte.
Now, you're talking about fantasy scoring or just in the NFL?
Doesn't matter. Give me what
you
got.
Well, no, it does matter.
All right, give me in the NFL.
All right, I don't have that up here right this second.
What a jerk. But anyhow, here's my point.
The point is, you know.
But I think you talking and separating out fantasy and reality is making my point.
Okay.
In the fact that Matt Forte's putting up big fantasy numbers, as predicted by Rick Flieger here when everybody else called him an a-hole and called me an a-hole and said he was done.
Well, they call you an a-hole anyway, Rick.
Well, I understand that, okay. But this is one reason they cited, so I can at least get this one off the list and just get to the root of the matter that I am an a-hole, and that's why they're calling me that. But point being, Matt Forte isn't one of these 20-yard-a-carry Adrian Peterson type of backs. 20 carries per game, not 20 yards per carry. That'd be fantastic.
Matt Forte is eighth in the league in rushing.
Okay.
Eighth.
All right.
He's fourth in fantasy scoring in PPR.
So let's say Langford, let's give him 12th. Let's say he reverts half. So he's the 12th best in rushing yards, which is fine. You know, you're still talking an RB1 there. Where you can't replace Matt Forte, he is the best pass-catching running back in the NFL.
All right.
Hands down, bar none. Point being that even if Langford fills that role, the exact same role as Matt Forte, and they use him the exact same way, the results are going to be nowhere near what they were with Matt Forte because Matt Forte is the best right now and perhaps the best ever at what he does, and that's being a pass-catching running back. This is a guy who caught 100 balls last year.
Right. Okay, I'm going to put forth a question to you.
All right.
What would the odds, what do you estimate the odds would have been in mid-August if I said, Rick, in PPR formats, halfway through the season,
all right,
your top three scoring running backs would
be
Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, Danny Woodhead.
I'd have called you a damn fool, an old fool.
Right.
That's the only word I can come up with is fool.
Yeah.
Danny Woodhead is number three.
Danny, well, 40 catches, 444
yards. You figure Freeman's
yards.
Done this in, what, five games, six games?
I don't know.
He didn't bust out till week three or four,
true.
Right?
Well, yeah.
He's at number one. He had such big weeks.
Well,
though.
The thing is, he's had seven.
He's reverted to the mean. That Atlanta offense has reverted to the mean. They have been uninspiring, to say the least. Last several weeks.
Well, they lost to Tampa Bay. I mean,
that doesn't help either. But you scored 10 against Tennessee. Tennessee could play a little defense, though.
But Devontae Freeman, you know, against that Tennessee defense, 116 yards. You know, last year was his worst since week two. Well, and I take that back. He only had 68 yards against Houston, but he had three touchdowns. But he had 88 yards and 43 yards receiving. This guy is just a beast, though. I mean, the offense is running.
How in the name of God is Mark Ingram second? I have no sense that Mark Ingram's had a big year. Is it just that consistent? Just that steady?
He's had 530 yards rushing with five touchdowns.
All right. Well, he doesn't do anything in the passing game, does he?
No, he's only had 33 catches and 274 yards. So in PPR formats, you're adding another, what, 57 or 60 points.
I had no sense of that. No sense. I feel like this is the first time Mark Ingram's name has come up on this show since we were giving him stinky socks every week last year.
Well, you think about that.
That stuns me.
He's only seven catches behind Freeman and Woodhead.
Wow.
They both have 40.
I had no sense of that whatsoever. None. That's a fun little stat there, Rick.
Well, it is that's the New Orleans offense, it seems like. It's Drew Brees. You know.
He just gets forgotten.
It used to be Breeze and Graham.
Right.
You know, now it's just Drew Breeze. Of course, when he's throwing 7 touchdowns, it helps, you know, focus on his name.
So Ingram just goes away, gets forgotten. Wow. I might have keep that in mind in a few leagues here. Steve Smith out for the season with an Achilles. That was ugly looking. Hated to see that. There's another guy. I haven't hit a lot of Steve Smith around a lot of leagues where you just plugged him in that flex and waited for your 10 catches and hoped he got in the end zone. He's going to be a big loss. Your boy Kyrie Robinson, you make a trade. Of course, he fractures his tibia immediately. He is out.
It's a tibia or a fibula.
Oh, well, I wrote tibula, so I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, well,
Reggie Bush out for the season with an ACL. I could probably knock you over with a feather with that news, although it's a shame how that one went down. How can these idiots in St. Louis still have that cement ring around the stadium? That's the second guy in 2 weeks who's had a season-ending injury because of that stupid cement. What are they doing in St. Louis? I guess it won't matter when they're in L.A. next year.
You think they'll be in L.A.?
I think two teams are going to L.A.
That's ridiculous.
I honestly believe that.
That's ridiculous.
And I think – here's my prediction, Rick. I think St. Louis
– Now, it would be cool to
San Diego go to
the
L.A.
Los Angeles Rams again.
Yeah.
That would be okay.
But nobody in L.A. cares.
Huh?
This is what I can't grasp. They don't care.
There's a lot of money out there.
Yeah, but they don't care.
I know.
They just don't. But anyhow, I think San Diego and St. Louis go to L.A. I think Jacksonville goes to London. That's inevitable. They added more games at that godforsaken place next year. Some other stadium or
that's
something.
That's horrible.
And it's like six or seven of them.
San Diego Chargers. I mean, that's an original AFL team.
Right.
I don't want Los Angeles Chargers. And that's ludicrous.
Oh, we have a call on the line here, Rick. I'm not sure.
Right, maybe Patrick.
Well, let's find out. Oops, if it'll let me answer here, 1 second. Here we go.
All right, I think we have our good friend of the asylum. Haven't talked to him for about a year, and it's a former wide receiver and Super Bowl champion, played for the Ravens, Patrick Johnson. How are you? Do you have him on, Rick?
It says he's up.
Can you hear us? Well, we'll give it a shot here.
Let me put him on hold, and we'll try again.
All right.
Let's try that.
Okay, we'll try that.
Patrick, you there?
Are you there, Patrick? Well, this is nonsense.
Huh. I don't know what to say there.
Can you hear us now? Okay, I put him on hold. I'll try it. Can you hear us, Patrick? Oh, this is stupid.
And you know what's happening. He can hear us, and we just can't hear him, and he's screaming into the other end of the phone line.
Wondering why
he's wasting his time with us dummies for whatever reason.
I don't know. It says he's on the air. I don't understand this.
Yep, not on hold. I'm going to place him back on hold one more time. Try that. Nope, this not. Oh, that's a shame there.
What is this? Okay, he's on. You can't hear us.
What's that?
I just asked if he could hear us even on hold. I was just thinking maybe there's something screwed up with the screen here.
Well, certainly not coming through the software. So I'm going to keep him off hold, and hopefully if he does.
Can you hear us, Patrick?
All right, well, I'm going to keep his phone line open. Maybe I'll let you play around with that a little bit, Rick.
I don't know. Maybe, can you try to call in one more time or – because we can't call him through here.
No.
Unfortunately. If you can hear us, Patrick, maybe you can hang up and try to call in. Somewhere along the line, it's not letting you in. I don't even know if you can hear us.
Give it one more shot here as it spins and it spins and it spins and it spins.
Wait. Okay.
All right. There we go. Patrick, we got you now. Nope. Negatory.
He dropped 705.
Well, don't say it over the air.
No. I'm not. That was actually. All right. Good.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to try something here, Rick. Hand me that phone number.
Okay.
Right here it is, sir.
Keep talking. We are on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, he's going to try to get Patrick Johnson in here. I tell you what, another thing that we probably ought to cover is Colin Kaepernick getting benched. And I'd like to get Patrick's take on that. You know, a lot of people speculating, is this the right move? Quite frankly, I think it's a great move because he's just not getting it done. And sometimes when a quarterback, especially a younger guy like that, they get into such turmoil, the league's horrible or the team's horrible, and he doesn't really know what he's doing. So we're going to wait on Patrick to see if he calls.
We're doing the good old-fashioned Skype call here, Rick. We're going to see if he answers. Patrick, we got you.
Oh, hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, sorry about that. Don't know what's going on with the call software today. Everything goes kaput every time you try to do this. How's it going out there tonight?
Hey, well, you got Anonymous out there. You know, they hacking everything.
First Trump, then us. I think that makes sense. That's a good direct line.
It's hacked, man. It's hacked. I blame everything on getting hacked, man. I ran out of gas.
Yeah, your car got hacked.
Because I'd been hacked.
Anonymous drained the gas from your car. I like it.
What? Well,
How you guys been?
Oh, we have been fine. I tell you what, we just appreciate that you called in. And, it's been about a year since we talked. And, we always like to get your insight on it. And it's actually better now, I guess, that we're midway through the season than when we're all sitting here trying to project things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff has gone down. And right when we were trying to get you on, we were covering benching of Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, a lot of people saying, oh, is this the right move? I think it's a good move. I just think that he's in a situation right now where I don't think he's going to work out of it until he gets a little bit of breathing room and he can get his head back on. I think he's just sinking. You've been there. You've seen this kind of stuff happen. What do you think?
Well, I think that Kaepernick is at this point in time is the product of a lot of change in the organization. I mean, you just look at it, 2 years removed, okay, from winning a Super Bowl. And I want to make sure I'm right, but I mean, hell, they almost went twice and lost in the Super Bowl once, and all of a sudden, Colin Kaepernick can't play football, and I find that to be amazing. But at the same time, people are looking at Kaepernick, and you guys know the quarterback gets all of the glory, and he also gets all of the blame. So right now, Colin Kaepernick was getting all of the glory when they had a much, much, much better organization as far as the 53 men they had on the roster. And now that you've seen a number of different coordinators come through, I mean, obviously, they called Kaepernick the new quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you guys remember that. Guys that have the arm, guys that can run. He's the new age NFL quarterback. But, now he's in a situation where, I mean, the consensus, amazingly, is that he now he's not the new age quarterback. But really, I think that it's easy to put a young quarterback, there's so much turnover in the NFL. And you can also say, okay, well, we just look for the next guy. But if you look at the San Francisco organization, top to bottom, I mean, they've had a lot of change there, a lot of different head coaches. I mean, look how they just everybody that – with all of this change, every change that the 49ers organization has made has always been unceremonious. I mean, look how they got rid of Harbaugh. I mean, you just start with him. Look at how they got rid of Singletary. I mean, go all the way back to that. Look at how they just got rid of Vernon Davis.
Exactly.
Look at that. I mean, you start – start looking at all these key players. Crabtree. I mean, you keep going. Hell, LaMichael James. These weren't only good players, but I mean, they were very good players at some point in time during their tenure with the 49ers. The 49ers had a lot of winning going on not too long ago, and now look at them. So Colin Kaepernick is just a product of I think a dysfunctional organization top to bottom. I think there's a lack of leadership. There isn't a consensus among the ownership and the general manager. There's issues there. Jim Tomsula, the head coach of the team, I mean, I don't even know how he was able to stay around as long as he could through three head coaches, probably by snitching. You know what I mean? selling out his head coach. I mean, how does that guy stay around when everybody else is leaving? I'm just saying. I mean, you guys tell me. So, and then you still see more of the same thing happening. So there's something going on within the front office there that until that gets fixed, then you're going to continue seeing the same thing. And then, you know, you'll see the 49ers returning back to their form like around the late 90s, you know. I mean, or early 2000s. I mean, those guys were average. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think until they can repair that, whatever's going on in the front office is the reason why the 49ers aren't playing well. It's not, and there's a lack of. Okay, let me give you an example. We run the I formation, right?
Okay.
You know, these are the kind of players that we want for this, right? We're gonna have a defense that blitzes heavy. Okay, these are the kind of players we need to go get. But so there is a lack of understanding somewhere because you got guys that don't fit the scheme that they're playing in now. You got competing ideologies with types of, I mean, it's just a mess up top, and that's why you're starting to see all the turnover. And unfortunately, somebody else is gonna have a great quarterback in Kaepernick, and they got Blaine Gabbert now starting.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue. It's not like you have somebody with the potential to turn your season or your organization around behind him in a Blaine Gabbert. This guy has failed in every limited opportunity he's had. You wonder at some point, you see all these coaches around the league already getting fired, and yet we're going to lay this on the quarterback and nothing on Tom Sula. It's an interesting point that he has something going on in the front end. Speaking of dysfunction in the front end of a team, could that be the explanation, all that strife between the GM and Chuck Pagano with Andrew Luck and that mess that the Colts have been? Andrew Luck went from being the next great quarterback to being a complete and utter disaster so far in 2015.
Well, I mean, if you guys really look at the standings now, if you look at the NFL, do me this favor this Sunday. Make sure you make it a point to watch players carry the football in the National Football League. They don't even coach players on when to run with the football in the left arm and when to run with the football in the right arm. Watch how many more times you see turnovers in football. I think what you're seeing is, you know, you look at the economics of the NFL, and the way that it's structured now is the average lifespan of a player is less than 4 years. It's a business move in order to keep players from becoming vested because that's long-term money that these teams have to pay. That's why you have teams have 50% of their team be undrafted free agents. Y'all know what that meant. You know, if they used to not even keep guys like that. Those guys were playing in the Arena League, you know.
Right.
So if you got half of your team with guys that really – typically shouldn't even be on the roster, you're going to have a lot of parity because you're going to have all these guys beating each other because you're going to have a mistake fest all game. Look at all the penalties you see now. I mean, like, it's just, there's a lot of bad football being played. There's a lot of bad football. I mean, you have a couple teams with great records, and you got, how many sub-500 teams did we have in the league this year?
Like nothing I've ever seen. Right, you know? An entire divisions at that. And you wonder, has the NFL gone too far And this probably isn't a question to ask an offensive player like you were, but have they gone so far in making the quarterback position and the passing game key that where they sort of gamed the system for so many years to get complete parity in the league to getting to the point where you have to have this elite quarterback and this elite offensive scheme and maybe the elite wide receiver, and you take defense and you take the running game out of it where you've actually eliminated that parity, cut it down to the six or seven teams with real elite quarterbacks and elite talent around it to where your parity's completely gone and you have this mess that the league is now. Somebody sub 500 is going to win the NFC East, one of the proudest divisions in the history of football, and that AFC South. It's going to be sub 500 teams win both of those divisions.
No, I don't know exactly, but I think where the emphasis needs to be for the NFL is through the draft. I mean, we kind of have it both ways right now to where, you know, if you have half of your team stacked with guys that didn't even get drafted, what's the value in the draft? You can't have it both ways. Why am I watching the draft? You know what I mean? Half of your team is with free agent players and you don't have any veterans. Think about it. What's the value of the draft? I mean, that Ravens team that where we won the Super Bowl, I mean, if you look at just the defense alone, how many first-round picks you had on that defense, or even second-round picks?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, you got guys that are – I mean, you just don't have teams that are stacked with high-round draft picks. Think about it. You just don't see it. But what needs to happen is the draft has got to count for something. You know, where are all of your elite players? Think about it. Where are they? I mean, we got a handful of elite players, but where are the young elite players? You don't really have very many of them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're already out of the league.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, the highly drafted guys, you know, the skill players especially, you have one here, one there. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You have, say, a Julio Jones on Atlanta, but it's not stacked with maybe a second-year guy or, say, a fifth-year guy who was a first-round pick, and you don't have a guy that has 6 years under his belt. You know, kind of like the Steelers back in the 70s or whatever when they drafted and built that team. They were all highly drafted guys, but they just don't stay with the teams any longer. You know, they go for a contract or they're out of the league, and they just get scattered. The ones that make it are scattered, and like you said, the average career is, what, 4 years? And they're gone.
It's less than four.
Right. Yes, I mean, that's an excellent point.
I mean, it's quite obvious that you have a lot of bad football being played. You know, people at this point in time, and, you know, I live in Dallas, and right now, I mean, I would say Dallas is probably one of the better teams in the NFL, talent-wise. But I mean, you look at some of these other places, they're not going to go watch the names on these jerseys. They're just going to go watch the jersey and the helmet.
Right.
Doesn't really matter who's out there, with the exception of maybe five guys that the team really market and sell tickets behind.
You brought up Dallas. I mean, why you brought that up? With all the ridicule over the years, how important is Tony Romo to all the naysayers out there that were ready to ride him out because of his playoff record?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at, you know, Dallas Cowboys, I mean, and trust me, you know, outside of my Ravens, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, they've earned my respect. I mean, obviously, being a part of the community here and living here over a long period of time, you kind of grow to, you know, kind of grow to like and kind of respect Jerry Jones and what he has built, you know, as far as an organization from top to bottom. Now, have they won a bunch of Super Bowls? No, but they've as an organization have really been one of the cornerstone franchises in the NFL, right? So saying all of that, Tony Romo, I mean, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I most people don't really realize what kind of pressure cooker this the Dallas market is, or being the core starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's markedly different than playing quarterback for most teams in the National Football League. I mean, New York Giants, yes. Wherever Peyton Manning plays, yes. Wherever Tom Brady plays, yes. But outside of those elite quarterbacks, I mean, it can be tough to have longevity as a starting quarterback for the Cowboys. You know, and this guy has consistently really done it as best as he could, as long as he could. And he's put up tremendous numbers. He's put up tremendous numbers, but he hadn't always had the supporting cast around him. Just look at last year. I mean, if Dez Bryant don't get robbed in Green Bay, there's no way New England beat them in the Super Bowl. There's no way. Dallas get a trophy. They got a trophy last season if Dez Bryant gets that catch. Because remember, who would they go play next? Seattle. They had just beat the brakes off Seattle at home. That was Seattle's first loss at home last season, right? Then Green Bay went in there and beat them. So all right. If Dallas got to play Seattle again, Dallas beats them. And they go to the Super Bowl. And I don't think New England, with the offensive line and DeMarco Murray running the football like he was late in the year, New England, I don't think, could have dealt with that running game. So there's a potential trophy right there already. And if they got that trophy right now, it's a totally different conversation about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it really is. And that's how close those guys are. I mean, and like you said, they losing five games straight, these guys still got a chance to win a division.
I think they may be the favorites, assuming you've got Dez back healthy, you get Tony Romo back healthy. They're not going to be more than two games out once those guys come back with 5 or 6 weeks left in the season. They're probably the favorite. You bring up that Dez play in Green Bay. As someone who played the position and played it at a high level, how frustrating is this to watch from your perspective? When are we going to simplify where the league decides what in the world a catch is, what in the world a football move is? I don't think they know, and I don't know if it's the advent of we have to replay everything down to the tenth of a second. It's absolutely absurd. There's plays that are just clearly catches week in and week out that we're overturning, and I don't think they know what the rule is anymore.
Well, what I think needs to be decided is that, you know, I mean, I know you guys are in radio. I don't know how athletically prone you guys are or anything. So don't let me offend anybody by saying this. No, I'm serious, guys. But so what I'm saying is that if you have a bunch of guys that are legislating what is a football move who's never done it before, then this is what you get. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly.
You got a person. If you have a person who plays offensive line and defensive line, and you can't let guys like that legislate what a hold is and what a hold ain't, we're wasting our time. If you got a bunch of guys that haven't done it, making the rules, then this is what we're going to continue to get. You know, if you got a wide receiver. I mean, and obviously it has to be consensus when you're establishing what rules are, but people that have done it before should be the ones legislating what is and what is not an infraction. That's why we have the problem. So I hope I didn't offend anyone of you guys. I mean, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think there should be former players should be involved in this kind of stuff. And
let me tell you something crazy. You know the reason why they're not?
No.
Because you have a bunch of guys that are in charge that have never even put on a jockstrap. It's an ego situation. Let me give you an example. This is why you don't see very many former players get opportunities to coach in the National Football League. If you got a guy who got into the business by working in the mailroom, and then he gets elevated up, and he is in a position of, you know, power, or I don't want to say use the word power, but if he's in a position of influence, when you got a person that's been there and done that, the people that are following you, who are they going to gravitate towards more? The guy that's done it.
Right.
So a lot of times that can be a conflict of interest for that coach. So if you got a coach that has never played, it's going to be hard for him to have guys on the staff that have, because they're going to listen to that. Players are going to listen to that guy more. It's like Dan Campbell in Miami. Why you think that thing is gelling the way that it is? Because he's been there before. But so that's why you don't see a lot of former players in those positions, because a lot of guys that are in those positions, just go look at the roster. Go look at the media guide for every one of these teams, and you look at how many former players. Because those guys, it's a conflict to have those guys there. Unfortunately, that's the truth.
Yeah, and you can actually see the a nice little example of it, really, in Denver, where you have Elway comes in as the whatever he is, president or general manager or whatever, and I mean, here's a guy that's done it at the highest level. And, you know, I think everything is – decisions are made based on football sense, at least weighing in heavily, as well as just pure economics.
Well, I mean, how many teams have a guy in that kind of power that's a former player? Him, Ozzie Newsome, can you tell me another one?
No, I cannot.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's all. I mean, that's it. So, I don't know, man, but I think that the NFL, man. I mean, what thing that they've done? I mean, and I've been out of the sport for, golly, it's almost close to 10 years. But it seems like it's almost kind of night and day how different it is. I mean, it's night and day how different it is.
So,
a collective bargaining agreement, I mean, it's different.
When you look at, you brought up Dan Campbell and the instant bump Miami got from that. We see all these midseason coaching moves. Obviously, you talked about why it's worked with Campbell. That looked fantastic for 2 weeks. Had the hiccup against New England, but I think most everybody's going to have that from here on out. How long can, I guess a two-part question, and I think I know the first answer, but I'll ask it. Is coaching that important that it can affect the results and the play to that point, number one? And number two, if you get that initial bump off it, can you ride that out for an entire season? Did it just absolutely change the face of that organization instantly, that quick?
Yeah. I mean, a good coach, I mean, can be – and I'm not saying a good coach has to be a former football player. I'm not saying that. I was fortunate that I had great coaches for every team I played on. I mean, Brian Billick, I mean, he played football in high school. Hell, we went to the same high school. He played football in high school and some in college. You know what I mean? Right. He is a great coach. I mean, Tom Coughlin, I don't know if he, did they even have helmets when he was coming up?
He was definitely a leather helmet guy.
I'm just joking. Tom's great. I wish, you know what I wish is that, you know, I was so young when he was coaching me, I just wished that I was a little bit hard-headed, but, you know, I just wished that I listened more to what he was saying.
You mean a young man is actually hard-headed? I don't believe that.
Yeah, man, it was just, you know, great, great guy, though. I remember about Coughlin, man, he'd stay at work and stay all night and sleep on his couch in his office, man. And I respect him a lot for that, you know what I mean, because, you know, these coaches are really like teachers, man. And you know, and they're dealing with young people. So, I mean, you got to respect a man who takes his time like that to help young people, because, you know, hell, I was 20 years old when I went into the NFL. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, is that a dying breed? Do you think coaches like a Coughlin, and I don't know a lot of these guys personally or whatever, but you know that actually care about the young guys and actually, you know, are really motivated to improve them as people as well as players. I mean, do you think that that's kind of lost in the helter-skelter world that is coaching? You know, I mean, the coaching changes get made a lot quicker than they used to be as well.
Yeah, I don't think that any man who takes his time, and I think the intent is still there. I think that unfortunately coaches are caught up in the same cycle, or I wouldn't even say cycle. They're caught up in the same business construct as the players now, because their salaries are going up too, real high. You know, so there's turnover in coaches because they don't want to have to sit there and pay them all that money. They get turnover. Turnover in coaches mean you get a reset with your fans. So, like, if you have a coach that he's there for 3 years, y'all didn't do anything, well, bam, we got a new guy now. Come buy your tickets for the season. Rah, 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 right?
That seems to be all that matters anymore. So when you look at it, you wonder how much that affects the development of young players. You look at the Tennessee situation. Yeah, it seems like Wisenhunt, he won a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator. He took the Arizona Cardinals, of all teams, to a Super Bowl and had them with a lead in the final minute of that game. He hits a rough stretch trying to develop a rookie quarterback, and he's gone before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal. But hey, man, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really, the way that the league's going now, I mean, it's interesting. But the good thing is that you're going to start to see a shift back to conventional offense. You know, I think you're going to start to see people start to go back to the running game. You know, for a minute there, like you said, they kind of set the league up to be a total passing league, and now all you see is just people getting scored on all game. You know, that's not fun to watch either.
No, it's
55
not.
55-45. I don't want to watch that.
No, that game last week was a cartoon, if you ask me. The New Orleans Giants game we're referring to, 52-49.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. Eli Manning, he's either going to throw 6 touchdowns or 6 picks, but he's going to do what?
he's going to throw it anyhow. So
yeah, that guy.
Okay, before we let you go out of here, we're running out of time. What is, in your mind, or who are, I would say, let's just do it this way, the best team in the AFC and the best team in the NFC?
I say the best team in the AFC right now, I'm gonna say Denver. I think New England is obviously, we know everybody knows New England, but I think talent wise, Denver got the most talented team.
Can Peyton take them there? Do you think?
I think he could take them there. You know, I think, but you know, as long as they're running game. Remember late in the year last year, like, they couldn't run the ball very well. You got Ronnie Hillman. He seemed like he would drink a whole bottle of Robitussin before he went out there and played, because all he did was cough the ball up. Man, I can't wait to fumble. You know what I mean? Put me in, Coach, so I can't wait to fumble. I can't wait to give the game away this weekend, Coach. Put me in first. You know, I'm joking, but they couldn't really run the ball. Like, they couldn't run the ball very well last year, and that was the problem. The team that can run the ball the best in the playoffs are going to win. Or, see, with the New England, they can play that small ball. They'll small ball you to death. You know, they'll just throw those little quick passes to those little receivers, Edelman and Amendola, and a little three-yard swing pass is almost like a run, because if he can get 2 more yards, that's 5 yards. That's a running play.
Yep.
But I think Denver is the best team in the AFC. NFC right now, man, after Green Bay just got worked like that, I guess I'm going to have to say I can't give it to the Falcons. I don't know, man. Okay, let's say. I would say Green Bay still.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough in the NFC. You got Green Bay, you got Carolina, in Atlanta.
Well, Carolina, I liken Carolina to an option team, a really good option football team. I mean, Nebraska.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was the Nebraska with Tommy Frazier.
Yeah. Right. You know, okay. Here's a question. Here we just went through this. And Rick and I have talked about this a little bit. With the defense they have, Arizona getting dissed a little bit, not really in the conversation?
Arizona, I think they're because of the TV market they're in, they don't get a lot of exposure. So as long as it comes playoff time and they can work Seattle and they can get into the dance, then they got a shot. But you know, I mean – they got to win the games they're supposed to win, because even winning 10 games don't get you to the playoffs if you don't win the beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Obviously, they lost some games where they shouldn't have lost them, like to a St. Louis. You don't got if you want to win a division, don't slide on St. Louis. You can't get beat by St. Louis, not one time. If you want to win the division, you can't get beat by St. Louis, unless St. Louis is beating everybody else once. So, somebody to win a division, you got to beat the top two teams in a division home and away both times. So who's on the bottom of that division? You know, I mean, Seattle is on the top, and then you got Arizona, and then you got St. Louis, and who's the last team?
San Francisco.
So we don't have to worry about those guys.
So San Francisco, you definitely gonna beat them both times. I mean, they got what's the private high school out there in the Bay Area? I'm just making fun of them. They got a high school. They're out there. They might as well go and play De La Salle. That's who they need to play this weekend. You know.
Yeah, and I think what makes the NFC so tough, I think what we're finding out after they just started out on fire with Green Bay, I think you find out how important Jordy Nelson is to Aaron Rodgers and is to that offense, and that Randall Cobb isn't the guy, Devontae Adams isn't the guy. That offense runs through Jordy Nelson. Maybe they can get the run game going with Lacy like they did last season. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is a special, special talent. But I think without Jordy Nelson, that team came back to the pack big time, and it got forgotten because they started off so hot.
No, but people are bombing Green Bay. Their defense is just getting it. I mean, how many points they get hung up on them last week? That's what's happening. That's what's happening. I mean, when your defense starts giving up points, you become one-dimensional. I mean, Eddie, we love you, man, but we down by 12 already.
Yeah, you're right there. But, you know, 1 point, you know, they have not scored as many points as Carolina has this year. And
that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of the offense seems to be down and the defense down, and yet they're sitting at 6-1. And I think it could be a product of, you know, playing Detroit and Chicago a couple of times and so forth as well. You know, I think the schedule is going to get tougher for Green Bay, and I'm with you. It's hard really to pick the team out of the NFC. Right now I'm leaning towards Arizona, and because, you know, Carson Palmer playing lights out. I love Larry Fitzgerald, and I just think that defense, you know, is capable of trucking people themselves.
I don't. If Arizona's got to go play Carolina in the playoffs, then I don't think they can beat them in Carolina. But if Carolina's got to go to Arizona, I think Arizona got a shot, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Whoever plays at home wins that game, I think.
All right. Well, Patrick, we are over time here. Appreciate you taking the time. Sorry about all the hassle getting connected here.
Hey, man, I'd like to do it again, man. Let's make it so it's not a year again.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I was on a show was with you guys.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take you up on that. Maybe we'll give it a couple weeks here, and we'll do it again. Maybe we'll talk a little more individual players, a little more statistics, take it back down the fantasy road a little bit.
No, exactly. I'm actually doing pretty well. I'm second in the division in my fantasy pool. So I'm doing okay.
All right, you got to beat that team ahead of you twice then. Don't forget that.
No, I know. I plan on it.
All right, Patrick. Well, we really appreciate it, man. We'll go. We'll touch base here in the next couple weeks.
Well, you guys have a good evening.
Thanks. Hey, thanks you a lot, too. Patrick.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, it was a struggle all on our end, but we appreciate Patrick joining us. Always great to hear him. Just insight you're not going to get. It's amazing. Somebody who's played the game. We think we know everything because we sit here with the microphone. You watch the national media. They think they know everything. Everything Patrick tells you is nothing you're going to hear anywhere else. And that's what's so great about having him on.
Well, and one thing that you and I, you know, I mean, we're dummies, but we are smart enough to realize that we don't know.
Right.
But to get somebody on and start talking things that do know.
And then we shut up.
Yeah, exactly. We just listen, and he makes it easy.
Oh, the point with Tom Sula in San Francisco, I mean, that's pure brilliance.
Yeah.
And just an insight into things you don't see. So we are definitely going to take him up on that and get him back here in the next couple weeks. Talk a little fantasy football, which we didn't get to a lot of in this show. So, hey, 1 o'clock Eastern, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Check it out over there. On Saturday we will I'll tell you what, we didn't get to our balls and socks, Rick. Let's do it on that show. So if you want to hear the game balls and game socks, where we get a little rowdy and have a little fun, check that out. fantasysportsnetwork.com, Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, so don't miss that. And you know, the Fantasy Sports Network is really gaining ground, and I tell you what, we just got another little notice from them. You know, we're being part of the Fantasy Sports Network. They are now available on, I hope I say it right, CogeCo Cable in Canada. And, you know, they just keep picking it up. Fantasy football must be spreading big time.
Absolutely.
In Canada, which is great. They are, you know, they're leaving a footprint in Ontario, and I think this CogeCo, I believe, is in Quebec now.
All right.
Now we're in, what, Sasktel out in Saskatchewan. We're in Manitoba.
All over Canada.
Yeah,
we are huge,
great.
In Canada, Rick, and plenty of outlets along the East Coast specifically. So check out your local cable provider. Let them know you want the Fantasy Sports Network. But you can hear our balls and socks there Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern. If you don't have it, fantasysportsnetwork.com. And, of course, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on AsylumFantasySports.com, Blog Talk Radio. The Inside Slant with your boys and Scott Fish.
Yes,
we
indeed.
Answer all your questions. Hit the mailbag, Twitter. You can call in. You can tweet. You name it. There's a chat room. Everything you got, we will answer your lineup questions. You will get brilliant nuggets like me telling you last week. Being relegated to number two was going to make C.J. Anderson a big, big player this week in week eight. And by God, I got one right, Rick. So I'm going to pound my fist and celebrate that.
You better believe it. And, you know, coming yet from your constituent over here, just because they're playing the Jets, you don't bench Derek Carr.
Yeah, you
were
all
over it. The guy's a real deal, man.
You were all over it. So that's it. Till Saturday, Sunday, or this time next Wednesday, we'll see you.
Take care.